ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசி ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. அயோத்தியகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 10, தி அக்ஸோரியஸ் மோனக். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் தட் தி விக்கெட் மந்திரா டிட் அ வொர்க் பட் டு வெல். Kaikeyi, an apt disciple, was now busy revolving the plot hatched by her maid. She saw her way to success in all its detail. Mantara, you speak well, and I shall do even as you will have me. Heaving a hot sigh of wrath, she sank upon the ground like a fallen Naga damsel of the nether regions, or like a gay-plumed bird transfixed with the venomed dart of the hunter. Anand, the shadow of a doubt crossed her heart. Do I win or lose? She knit her fair brows in deep thought for a while, and then she saw her path again and glory clear to the very end. Mantara, her maid, was devoted to her interests and even more obstinately bent upon her purpose. Kaikeyi's resolve filled her with wild joy, and she saw Bharata seated on the throne of his father. Meanwhile, the daughter of Ashwapati said to herself for the last time, I win or die. Her face was black as a thundercloud with suppressed anger. Wrapped in a single cloth, mean and soiled, she flung herself on the dust with her long hair in a single braid, even as it were the old serpent whispering into her willing ears unholy counsels. Like some sweet-throated songster of the feathered tribe bereft of life, she lay in that dark chamber, strewing with her priceless ornaments that gleamed bright in the growing gloom, as if they were the glowing sparks thrown off from her blazing anger, or like a bright starlit night when the full-faced moon has retired beneath her fleecy curtains of the ever-fleeting clouds. Now Dasharatha, with thoughtful care, gave his last directions to his ministers about the solemn function of the morrow, and dismissing his audience, he withdrew to the apartments of Kaikeyi. Rama's coronation was but suddenly resolved upon. My darling Kaikeyi cannot have been informed of it. I will be the first to bear the happy news to her. And like the radiant moon plunging into the bank of great clouds in the sky, over which the cruel Rahu had begun to cast his dark shadow, he entered the fatal pile. Parrots, peacocks, herons, swans, and other birds, sweet to the eye or to the ear, roamed free in their place. Veena and the lute, Mridanga and the flute, played soft music. Dwarves and hunchbacks hurried hither and thither. Boughs thick with champaka and ashoka dotted the spacious gardens and the curiously fashioned grottos. Seats and couches of wondrous workmanship lay around with gold, silver, and ivory inlaid. The trees bore fruit and flower through all the year, thanks to the gardener's skill and science. Now you came upon tiny lakes hid beneath a bed of bright lotuses or lilies. Now you lighted upon pleasant nooks and corners provided with every tasteful delicacy. Visions of heavenly loveliness flashed here and there in costly attire, lending to the place the air of the radiant halls of the Lord of the Shining Ones. And through that spacious palace, rich with everything that man can desire, Dasharatha passed on like a mighty lion into his lair. He proceeded to where Kaikeyi used to await his arrival, but found her not there. The hour, the music, the birds, the perfumes awoke in him hot desires and made him all the more eager to clasp Kaikeyi to his breast. His eye glanced rapidly over the vacant seat and turned to the chamberlain who stood by and flashed a question, "Where is Kaikeyi?" And ere he could receive a reply, he abandoned himself to gloom and despair. Never had my darling failed me thus. She knows the hour of my visit to her and would advance to meet me with a radiant smile, gaily attired. Never had I any occasion till now to come here to her rooms and miss her. Alas, he knew not that the devil had poisoned her innocent mind with wicked counsel, and that she lay in wait for him, resolved to carry out her cruel purpose at all costs. So he asked again, "Where has she gone, my Kaiki?" The officer trembled with fear and, with folded palms upon his head, managed to blurt out, "Your Majesty, it is some time since I saw the Queen proceed in the direction of the anchor chamber, the fire of wrath in her eyes." "Kaiki, angry? Kaiki, gone to the anchor chamber?" The words drove him remorselessly to the utter depths of despair, and his senses well nigh failed him. He flew to the dark cell of mourning, and there beheld his heart's delight roll in the dust as one demented. Lovely beyond words as some delicate creeper cut down to the earth, a sight to fill the beholder's hearts with amazement, even as some bright god hurled headlong from his abode of light on his merit's wane, enough to wring the hardest heart, even as some fair Kinnara nymph, cruelly tortured by her enemies, gifted with indescribable charm and grace, as some apsaras banished from heaven with clouded luster, even as some potent illusion sent down on earth to lure the souls of men, motionless as some doe caught in the strong meshes of the hunter, she lay writhing in her consuming grief as a lordly she-elephant struck to the heart with a venomed dart. The petted child of the ruler of the Kekiyas, the favorite queen of the king of Ayodhya, it was all unmeet for her to lie there thus as some broken waif. The snows of 60,000 winters lay heavy on Dashratha. Kaiki was in the bright summer of her youth and loveliness. Dashratha was a soul of righteousness. Kaiki had staked her all on the accomplishment of her devilish plot. Dashratha was a dread lord of countless millions whose lives hung upon his breath. In his heart was gathered the experience and wisdom of 60 millenniums. But his love for Kaiki blinded him to everything, and he could not bear to see her suffer so. Frank and guileless, her beauty clouded his clear intellect, and he could not see that she was a rival of supplanted Kaushalya, and was hence her bitterest foe. She was not fool enough to sit tamely and see Rama succeed to the throne of his father when she had a goodly son and knew she could wind the old man round her little finger. Why seek for any deeper reason for her present outburst of grief and rage? As some bull elephant soothes with soft trunk his mate whom the cruel hunter has shot down with poison shafts, Dashratha fondly stroked his darling, saying to himself, "What would she have? Is her fair frame racked by any fleeting pain? Or is it that she is displeased with me? I wish I knew what she would do." And with trembling heart he looked upon the lotus-eyed siren, and the fires of love and passion flamed him anew. "Light of my eyes," he cried, "I know not any reason why I should fall under your displeasure. Is any fool weary of his life and slights you? Does anyone seek the shortest path to the house of death and puts an insult upon you? Here stand I, innocent of any offense to you, your devoted slave, and you roll before me in the dust like one possessed of an evil spirit and bereft of her senses. It breaks my heart to see you suffer thus. Say, are you ill? I have here in Ayodhya and elsewhere countless doctors of medicine, the foremost of their craft, who are devoted to me body and soul through favors received and honors conferred. Is it your wish that I send for them now? They will in a trice keep away pain and suffering from you. But if you are really angry, tell me the name of the miserable wretch who has dared to offend you. He shall suffer the tortures of the damned. Or is it that someone has done you a service and you grieve that you have not repaid him? I shall reward him beyond your expectations. Weep not. Let not senseless grief rack your fair limbs. What innocent man would he have me doomed to death? What condemned wretch shall I set free? What beggar shall I make into a prince? What lord of riches shall I hurl into the gutter? Be it anything that your heart may be set upon, know you not that I and mine are yours to command? Can I bear to say you nay? I hold my life of worth but to serve you and anticipate your least wish. It is a wonder to me that you can even harbor a doubt about my readiness to carry out your behests, knowing as you do my boundless love to you. You know better than others the extent of my power, energy, strength, and wealth, and yet I see you doubt my sincerity and ability to give you whatever you may wish for. This broad earth is mine to command, as far as the chariot of the sun courses. Gold, silver, pearls, gems, kine, corn, horses, elephants, shawls, wraps from Sindhu, Sauvira, Saurashtra, Vanga, Anga, Magad, Matsya, Kashi, Kaushal, east and south, what will you have? May give full rein to your desires. Alas, that you should so soil your shapely limbs, rolling in dust and dirt. What do you fear? Tell me truly. I will not fail to remove it, even as the rising sun burns up the morning dew, and I swear it on the merit I have laid by till now. Consoled somewhat by his promises, Kaikeyi resolved to pierce his loving heart with cruel words and set about to bind him by dreadful oaths. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.